love worshiping the Lord together. It's powerful to be together in his presence. And we had a good week up in London with the leaders. One of the most significant thing for me was that we went, one of the members of the House of Lords, a young man actually who's a Lord, under the Lord of Lords, he's a Christian, he took us around the House of Lords particularly, and he told us about the amount of prayer that goes on in the House of Lords and how every day they all kneel, turn around. You know, the House of Lords all face inwards towards each other. They all turn outwards and pray the Lord's Prayer and pray for the Queen and all in authority. And it really impacted me that there is this, you could say, biblical tradition rooted in the Christian faith. There's so much in the House of Lords that is rooted in the Christian faith. And it was a joy for us to actually go in there and pray. And just, you know, of course, we go before the throne. It doesn't matter where you are when you pray. As long as you're with God, you can pray anywhere and go anywhere in prayer. But it was great to go and see that and hear the news about what God is doing in and through the prayers of his people everywhere. And last weekend, we had Pastor Dave here, who once again made me laugh more than I usually do during the ministry of the word. But he brought a great message to us about the call on each one of us to approach God because Jesus has made a way for us to come into his presence. And that was a great launch into this kind of fresh season of seeing God's word and promise for this year fulfilled, which is a year of breakout, the breakout of God's kingdom. And prayer is something that most of us would probably say, if we're honest, we're not very good at. Unless, of course, you feel you want to come up here and teach. It's a subject that challenges us to the core. Because Jesus calls every single follower of his, every believer, to pray. And I think the most important thing to see about prayer is that it's God's will for all of us. And he's made provision for us, made it possible for us to be effective in prayer. And that's going to be part of the teaching. We're going to be going through a time of teaching and prayer, because we need to see more and more of the kingdom of heaven break out in our lives and families and community and in the church. And the disciples, when they saw Jesus praying, I mean, that would have been something else, because he was so one with his Father. He was bold and confident because he knew he was totally accepted, like we are in Christ. Because Jesus makes us acceptable and blameless in God's eyes. But he stood there and prayed in front of his disciples. And they were attracted so much by his prayer life that this man of God, man of prayer, was opening their eyes to a different way of praying. Not like the religious traditions that they had held fast to, but a new way of prayer. And they said to the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I know you know that then follows Jesus' kind of model prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer. We call it our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But the first question or the cry or the prayer of the disciples was, teach me how to pray. And I don't know if you know this, but I think a lot of us are taught by other things, not by Jesus. Many of us can be taught by our traditions or by previous ways we've seen people pray, which aren't always wrong, but they're not definitely always right. And many of us are kind of taught by our own feelings when we pray. So our prayer, our kind of emotional well-being determines how we pray. So it's almost like we're being taught by what we feel when we pray, which is a biggie. Because if you don't feel like it, you won't. So you're not kind of being taught by Jesus to pray, you're taught by what you feel. But another biggie is being taught by what we've experienced, both in prayer and in answers or failures to see the answers come. And sometimes those experiences can teach us to pray not like Jesus teaches us. And so I'm going to ask you today, as you're listening to this, to throw out not all the good things that you have already been taught by the Word of God about prayer, but to come at this afresh, this season, and say, Lord, teach me. Teach me how to pray. Because if you will do that with a humble, hungry heart, God will. It's just if we keep to our feelings, our experiences, and, you know, our traditions or the duties that we feel we have in prayer, then we kind of get stuck in a rut and don't see much happen through our prayer life. And the disciples saw something about the prayer life of Jesus that said, this is exciting. I want in on that. And anybody who communicates that prayer is boring doesn't know God. And anyone who's boring to pray with doesn't know God. Sorry, that was a lemon. I was sucking on a lemon then. Because if you don't know the Lord and you don't know about prayer, your prayer life will be extremely mundane, probably full of, oh Lord, this is awful. Everything's going down. It just seems to be getting worse and worse. And not full of that kind of joy and dynamic of faith that Jesus actually modeled and taught his disciples, his followers, to pray. And I totally know that God has planned for us, every single one of us, to be effective in our prayer life. That we will see success in producing the results he said we could have. That we would be successful in producing the results that he said we could have. Not just to pray, but to be successful. And the Bible is absolutely full of miraculous answers to the prayers of people. Whether it is corporate prayer or individual prayer, but the Bible is full of stories about how God answers prayer. So the question I think we need to start with this morning is, what can prayer do? What can prayer do? If I could have the slide. While prayer, Psalm 65 verse 5 says, by awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us. Now, I like the you will answer. Not might, not could, because we know he can do anything, but I will answer. God's saying, I will answer. But he says, by awesome deeds. Now, I like the thought of awesome deeds. I like little miracles, but I would like one or two awesome. Would you like one or two awesome in you through your prayer life? Yeah. Where God is saying that you're going to see an awesome work and you actually get to see it. Amen. And that word is it means stunning, astounding, astonishing. Brilliant. And I'd love it for everyone in the church or everyone who believes the teaching of Jesus that you can have awesome works, that you walk around going, astonishing. Breathtaking, awesome, this is stunning, I love praying. Not, oh, not working, nothing's happening, but in awe of the answers. How many of you want that? You want to be in awe of what God does through your prayer life. I want what Jesus wants, and he wants that for us. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, this is what prayer can do. Can I have the next slide, please? And he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he's talking to each one of us today, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he repeats, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He will answer, he will do it. Awesome works, great works, and greater still. Wowzers. Now sometimes, because we've heard this before, we don't hear it. Because we've heard this so many times, it's not hitting our hearts like Jesus intends it to. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Do you not think that's the most simple thing? It's like a parent saying, I'll give you anything according to my will. Of course, a parent is wise, doesn't give anything to a child that is not right or isn't the will of the parent to give it. But he also, the child knows he can get a lot from the parents. And we need to know there's a whole lot of anything we ask in his name that we can see God do in this earth today. Awesome deeds, stunning, amazing works Jesus promises. So Jesus actually says the greater works that he's planned for all who believe in him, and that must mean you. You're a believer in Jesus. And so it must mean that he plans for you greater works than you've ever seen before. And awesome deeds. So that's his will for you. Hallelujah. That's his will for all who believe in Jesus. But we set the limits by experience, you see. Not by what Jesus says is possible. And so we need to lift the lid on what's possible, raise the roof, and get the believing heart back to what God says prayer can do. Awesome deeds, I will answer you, and greater works still. The greater works Jesus was speaking of were the fruit of praying. And so basically he said, if you pray it in, it will work out. So if you pray it in, you will see the workings of God out. So prayer is so important to every work of God. In fact, Wesley, John Wesley, he was the great revivalist, turned this nation around many centuries ago, but he was responsible for a great revival in this country. He made a comment about prayer that I think is astonishing. He said, God does nothing on earth except in answer to believing prayer. So God does nothing on earth except in answer to believing prayer. And many times we live with a promise, with a prophecy, with faith that God is going to do something, but we don't realize that we need to pray it in before it works out. That there's a prayer that comes in first before something happens, even if it is the will of God. So God does nothing on earth except in answer to your believing prayer. Can I make it personal? Yours and mine. So prayer, do we believe then, is the greatest power on earth? Because prayer can do anything God can do. Did you get that? Prayer can do anything God can do. And so do we believe that God's power is released through that prayer? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, I believe that the devil can't be in charge of this nation if we pray. Because I believe that God has put it in the hands of the church to pray so that God's hand moves the world. That God orders everything we pray for and brings his work and his will and his kingdom into the earth. And so prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Prayer moves the hand that moves. Somebody was going. Prayer moves the hand, God's hand, which is a hand of power, that moves the world. And if we don't pray, then we relegate our responsibility to the God of this world, who is called Satan, to wreak havoc on lives, families, nations, destinies, and the purpose of God for people. And so if prayer can do what God can do, then we need teaching on how to pray. And we need a revival or a stirring up of prayer in our own lives. Do we not? And this message is not to condemn, but to stir. I feel like I've got a big pot of marmalade and I've got a wooden spoon and I want to stir you up so that you can actually come back to the fire and the place of praying that God has actually assigned for every single believer. Now, your flesh is intensely lazy, and so is mine. My flesh, my self-life, never wants to give time to prayer. I have to grab myself and say, we're going to pray. Otherwise, my flesh will say, we're never going to pray. We're just going to let somebody else do it. I don't want to pray. And you know, the thing about prayer is, once you start praying, it's like you get that stirring up of the spirit of prayer, and you just want to pray more. But you have to not allow your current prayer life to determine what's going to happen from this day on. Because God wants to do something new in your life concerning prayer. Because he wants to do awesome works. And he wants you to be partnering with him for greater work still. And we need to reach out for those things that Jesus says are possible for us. If there is little happening, it's because there's a little bit of ineffective prayer. If God isn't doing much through your prayers, it's because either you're not praying or you're not praying right. You're not praying effectively. And God wants to address all of those things in each one of us so that we can pray effective prayer that accomplishes great things on earth. Prayer is like the engine room of the ship. I don't know if anyone of you saw the program about, was it the QE2? I only saw one of them, where they did this, they showed a lot of the engine room of this ship. Of course, Queen Mary or the Queen Elizabeth, you'd want to look at everything else but the engine. I'm not that interested in engines. But it showed this whole system. And you know, everything about our lives will grind to a halt, spiritually speaking, if that engine of prayer stops. It's like a car that runs out and suddenly crashes because of an engine failure. And prayer failure equals the life failure, really, in many people's lives. They start to get natural, carnal. The world becomes too interesting. They're not really interested in the things of God. You know, their zeal for the Lord, they've lost passion for God and love for Jesus. And, And they're not part of a prayer meeting anywhere. They don't go anywhere and pray with other saints. They just stay at home, turn on the TV, and say, well, God will do it without me. But he won't. It reminds me of Esther, the queen. You know, she was going to face possible death going into the king. And Mordecai said to her, if you remain silent at this time, deliverance will come somewhere else. Now, I think that's really interesting because God will fulfill what he said he's going to do in this nation. But if we remain silent and don't pray, it'll happen somewhere else. And I don't want that, do you? No. I want to be part of what God's going to do. Yes. Do you? And so I don't want it to pass over me just because I'm remaining silent. But if we will pray, God says you're going to be part of seeing every prophecy, every miracle that I've spoken out over my church and this nation happen. And so if we remain silent at this time, then deliverance will come somewhere else. And so it's not about someone else's prayer life. It's about yours and it's about mine. And God is calling us to see the place that prayer should have as the engine room, that if that stops, everything will stop and we will be left all at sea under the conditions of the waves, not seeing God power us into our destiny as his church. And the devil loves it when we don't pray. He will do anything to discourage prayer. Before a prayer meeting, before your early morning devotion to get into the word and pray, he will make sure you're so up to your eyes in work that you never have time to do anything but pray on the run. But Jesus said, when you pray, don't just pray on the run. There are times where we can do that. We can pray. As I'm walking down the street, I can pray. But he said, you go into your room and close the door to the secret place where your Father is. And pray to your Father in secret. And he will reward you openly. So in other words, God says, if you will have this personal prayer life, there will be rewards openly. You will see the works and the results of praying in that secret place. And we want to see all the greater works. We want to see the awesome deeds. We want to do the same works as Jesus. We want to be astonished and amazed at what God does. We don't really want to go into that engine room where we're stoking and putting the fuel in and praying, because actually it's demanding to pray in the secret place. But if we will, the rewards will be phenomenal. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will do something in all of our hearts today to say, Lord, I need to be a man or woman of prayer. It is astonishing to me to see the life of Jesus. When I go through the Gospels, and I trust you're astonished by the life of Jesus too, that when you read the Gospels, you see the amazing things that he did, the works of Jesus. But sometimes we fail to trace that back to his prayer life. We just think about the works and we think, yeah, I'm for signs and wonders. I'm for miracles. I'm for church growth. I'm for this. I'm for that. And we fail to see that Jesus sometimes got up so early before the day broke to be with his Father to pray, where he actually spent whole nights in prayer because he had so much to do. But we put it like this: I've got so much to do, let's shelve the prayer life. Jesus said, I've got so much to do, Let's fuel up. Let's get this engine full of power, because these people need power. They need healing. They need the word of life. They need the Holy Spirit. They need the breakout of the kingdom. Therefore, I will go to my Father and get what I need and receive in prayer for the day all that God is going to do. And Jesus is the perfect man. And I'm really not into this male-female thing, okay? Because Jesus isn't. He says there's neither male nor female in the Spirit. We're all one in Christ Jesus. But I've noticed in church history that when there are times of revival and times of moves of God, it's not just the women who pray, it's the men. And I've noticed when people get carnal, that actually, somehow I think, maybe it's because women know how much they were a bit more dependent on God. I don't know. But a lot of men are dependent on their own strength. And so they don't really need God. They don't need to pray. But isn't it incredible? The strongest man who ever lived is Jesus. Right. And he needed to pray a lot. And so it's a call to the whole body of Christ, not just to mums and wives and girls. It's the body of Christ. And this isn't once again condemning. It's saying, let's rise as one man in Christ, the new man in Christ Jesus, and pray. Let's not relegate prayer to another gender. And I'm not saying that. We've got some amazing, faithful, praying men in this church. I'm just saying let's not relegate prayer to women's work. Jesus himself was the greatest example of what it is to be a Christian and the perfect man, a praying man and woman. If there are no answers to our prayers, can I say this? Surely the problem isn't God. I don't know if you've worked that out yet. Yeah. I've had to work that out in painful ways sometimes. When I've prayed and things didn't happen, I've worked out that actually there must have been something wrong in my prayer or my heart. I'm not saying God condemns me, because he doesn't. He accepts me. I'm just saying God isn't the problem. And he's not a liar. If he promises awesome deeds through your prayer, he's not lying. And if he promises awesome, greater works, he isn't lying. Because God isn't a man who could lie. Yeah. And so this is not kingdom faith word, thank God. It's God's word to his people. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And we pray not based on our failure, because if I did, I'd never pray for a sick person again. Is anybody in this room like that? You'd never pray, lay hands on the sick ever again if it was down to what you've experienced. Right. Yeah. But the way I get over that failure in prayer is to say, Lord, first of all, help me. If it's been painful for me, heal me. Yeah. But secondly, I refuse the doubt and unbelief that want to come in on the back of disappointment. Yeah. I refuse to not doubt what you say, what you say in your word about what I can pray and what will happen. And so right now, I'm declaring, even though it didn't happen then, I'm going for the awesome deeds. And I'm leaving those things behind that weren't working. And I'm saying, Lord, teach me to pray effectively. because I'm going for those awesome deeds that you said I could have. And so failure, if it dictates your prayer life, you won't see awesome deeds. You'll settle into major disappointments and pain and loss and all kinds of things that have gone wrong, probably for most people in this room, when you prayed. Am I talking to real people here this morning? And what are we going to do with that, church? Are we going to live doubting? Or live in unbelief, because that actually means we won't enter into what Jesus has promised. Because it's only by faith that we can enter in to awesome deeds. And so we must eliminate unbelief and doubt and come back to faith. And I believe this morning that those two scriptures is enough to bring everybody in this room back to faith. The Word of God is enough, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. And I believe that you can have faith today by just believing these words from Psalm 65 and from John chapter 14. I believe it, Lord. My past, any failure? Well, I'm on the learning, teach me. I'm learning how to pray. Teach me how to pray. Yeah. And if you will be humble enough to do that and brave enough to move forward today, then you're going to move into the miraculous. Amen. And the devil wants to keep you in discouragement, right, and unbelief and failure. Amen. But God wants to move you into the miraculous. Amen. Amen. Through your prayer life. And it's hard sometimes when the disappointments have caused such grief. But we're followers of Jesus, not followers of experience. We must follow him. Say, Lord, I don't understand everything. I really don't. If you asked me lots of questions, I wouldn't know all the reasons why there wasn't failure. I only know God is true, that he's trustworthy, and his promises are true. And that's where I stand, on the rock of him and his word. That's it. That's all I know. And so I can't work out why. And if you spend your life saying why, you will never pray your way into a miracle. Because why doesn't ask for awesome deeds. Sometimes, the understanding will come when we're with him, when we've gone. But until then, let's have awesome deeds and greater works. May your heart be lifted and encouraged today to believe. To believe again, some of you, for awesome deeds in righteousness. He will answer you. You know, Paul believed this, the Apostle Paul. He had a word from God that he was going to be ministering before Caesar in Rome. So it was like God gave him the prophetic word there right into the future. And he gets onto this ship. He was a prisoner, really, of Rome. He had favor with the centurion that was his guard. And, you know, he wasn't a sailor. That was not his skill set. And they set sail at a time which Paul perceived by the Spirit, which was dangerous. They said he actually warned them not to go on this journey yet, to wait for another season, because it was really going to be stormy on the seas. And he perceived that there was going to be trouble in the journey. And so he gave this warning, but he had this word, this promise from God that he would end up in a certain place. And that's how God wants us to live. In promise that we're going to end up in a certain place. And even if people make bad decisions around us, God will see to it that we're going to get to the place he's called us to be. And Paul was a man of faith. He didn't believe that people were greater than God. I don't believe the government is greater than God. So they don't dictate. The government does not dictate what happens. Jesus does, because he's the Lord of heaven and earth. And so, Paul, he gets on this ship knowing that it's not going to go so well. And they hit bit trouble big time. And it says in Acts 27, you can read it. It says, when all hope of being saved was gone, Paul stood up and spoke. So it was like there was absolutely no way out except death. The ship's going to go down. A lot of these guys couldn't swim. I'm putting my thing on it, my twist on it. But actually, I think a lot of they took a lot of prisoners. So, you know, in those days, not everybody learned how to swim. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm thinking like that. But anyway, even if you could swim, it's a storm. So nobody can swim in that. And there were 276, I think, people on board. That's a lot of people on one boat. And Paul stood up at that moment when all hope was gone. He had been praying. Even though it looked like we're going down, Paul had been praying. Sometimes we bring prayer down to, oh, I've prayed about it. Paul prayed because he believed anything you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. Right, what am I going to ask? Well, Paul knew. And he was probably asking, Father, make sure I get safely to see Caesar. I don't want to sink in this drink. I ain't going down under here. So he said, I pray for myself, but God, I want 276 lives. And Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, I will do. Paul believed that. And he stood up when all hope was gone, having received 276 people saved out of destruction. And he stood up and he said with bold faith, guys, don't worry. This is my praises. I've got good news. Because faith always has. When you've got something in prayer, you'll have some good news. Whilst it's still going down, you'll have good news. He spoke in that moment and said, God's granted me the lives of everyone. In other words, ain't none of you gonna drown. And you'd have had little Fred at the back saying, oh, but I can't swim. It doesn't matter. God's gonna keep you up because I know that I've received in prayer what I've asked. He just did what we're supposed to be doing. And I think sometimes, you know, we're so limited in prayer. Just pray for me and mine. But let's embrace 276 people. Yes. How about that little prayer circle?
Yes. Brilliant.
And that was only on one trip?
Yes.
One prayer. I want everyone in my village saved. Jesus said, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. Ask for the community. Ask for your neighbors. Ask for Taunton. Ask for them where you're working. I will give it. God's granted me all of you lot. And by the way, the ship's going to break up. In other words, the ship's going down, but you're not. Oh, it doesn't matter what happens in this nation. I'm not going down. Are you going down? When we pray believing, it's not going to go down. As it is in heaven, it will be. Jesus has come to save lives, not to destroy. And so we have this power. Paul knew the power of prayer. That was an indirect answer to a prayer. That was one prayer. That's an awesome deed. And that's a great work of God. Limitless, unlimited power. unlimited power because prayer can do what God can do. I think sometimes, you know, we just bring and allow the devil and circumstances to reduce us to little prayers. And I wonder if we can get the expansive view of God's word today and say, come on, guys, awesome are the works that God wants us to pray in and see happen on earth as it is in heaven. The truth is of God's word is prayer is dependent on two things. Praying, because that's a miracle for some people, to actually get and ask, start to ask God. But the second thing it's dependent on for it to work is faith. Because prayer without faith is in vain. It's no point. Because only faith is answered. Jesus said, according to our faith, it will be done. He said, when you stand praying, believe that you receive it, faith, and it will be done. And so we need to ask and have faith when we're asking to see the greater work. So his prayer is simply, you see, I'm teaching a simple way of prayer. Ask, believing, and you will receive what you're asking for. Many pray, but don't pray believing they've received it. We can pray many prayers. We can even do what Jesus says not to do, vain repetition. Go over and 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 over. Imagine being the Lord. Oh, they're saying exactly the same thing, but they're not believing for anything. And first of all, it's discouraging for you to pray a lot and get nothing. And secondly, without faith, you can't please God, Hebrews 11:6 says. And, you know, prayer pleases God, but the prayer of faith actually means that he's going to be pleased with what you're praying. Because he's going to be able to do something through that prayer. Because God works through the faith and the prayer of his people. When Paul prayed, he believed he'd received 276 men before the ship broke up. And I love the way he just boldly stood there and said, it's okay, you're all going to live. And they'd have looked at him like, mm-hmm. Really? I think sometimes the things we say should be astounding people. Yeah. It's okay. This cancer isn't going to destroy you. You're going to be well. It's okay. God's changed that situation. I've prayed. And I believe I've received it. It's okay. This school is going to see a turnaround because I'm in faith. It's okay. Prayer changes everything when it's the prayer with faith. So what do we need to do today? And this is the essence of what God is saying to us. Come back to a believing heart. Come back to believing that what God says in his word, he will do. Take the simple prayer promises and say, I believe that, Lord. You're not a man that you should lie. And I believe that you're going to do this through my prayer life. Secondly, to come back to forgive me my prayerlessness. If we're honest, many of us pray and probably just pray for me. But Jesus has so much more for his kingdom work to include you in and to see you working with him in. And it's It's so important, your prayer life. It's important for your family. It's actually important for every meeting of the church. Do you realize if you prayed before you came, it would be a completely different meeting? Your pastors need prayer. If you pray, guess what? Power will be made available. Mission needs prayer. The community work we do, Start Right, Fly, all the teams that we see happen, the connect groups need prayer. And the engine room, if it is brought to a halt, means God's not going to move through that vehicle. But if we get back to the power of prayer, we're going to get that engine revved up, moving, powered, and fruit will come for the glory of Jesus and his name. Greater work still. You know, in the end, it's for his glory, not ours. I can get excited about awesome works, but in the end, I want him to be glorified by the works and the awesome deeds. That people will be astonished at Jesus, not at us, because we know who's done it. But we work with him in prayer to see those amazing deeds happen. So, a believing heart, a willingness to say, I will give myself to prayer in a new way, and a forgetting that is behind. Whatever has gone before, say, Lord, I'm forgetting it. I'm going to press on to lay hold of everything that you laid hold of me for. And I'm in this place for this time, for such a time as this, to not be silent, but to be part of the awesome things that God has predestined for us to walk in. And because I'm a praying person, I will see the works of God. Shall we stand?